Good evening and welcome to Radio EduTalk. This is David Noble in Dalgety Bay and I'm delighted this evening to welcome to the show Mary De La Peña of the Children's University Scotland. Welcome to Radio EduTalk, Mary.
Thank you very much, David. Good to talk to you.
And we're broadcasting live for the next 20 minutes or so this Tuesday evening. And as ever, if you've got a question or a comment for Mary, you can get in touch in two ways. You can email edutalker, that's edutalkr at hotmail.co.uk, or if you're on Twitter, just pop something up there and include the hashtag edutalk. So just to start, Mary, could you give us a kind of brief background to your career and involvement in education?
Okay, well, I suppose before I moved up to Scotland 2 years ago, my most recent post was with Nottingham Trent University. I was responsible for all of the university's outreach programmes, so working with schools and colleges, also responsible for our staff and student volunteering programmes. And Children's University came across our radar via the local authority. Nottinghamshire County Council was running Children's University as part of its extended services provision. And we were involved in terms of hosting the graduation. And then unfortunately with financial cutbacks, the local authority were no longer able to support Children's University. So the project came within our remit as part of our strategy for widening access, widening participation and outreach. And so that's how it came about that I became involved in Children's University north of the border. But before Nottingham Trent, I used to work for Boots as their education liaison manager. So I've been on both sides of the fence, both in education and in the corporate world.
That's great. And obviously listeners can Google Children's University of Scotland and have a wee read at the materials that are online during the show. But it might be beneficial at this point, Mary, just to illustrate what Children's University Scotland is, how it came about, and I suppose what it's not, because clearly with the title people could have some misconceptions.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I suppose giving the history, where we were set up as an independent Oscar-registered charity in April 2013. So I report to a board of trustees that's headed up by a gentleman called Jock Brown, may be familiar to some from the sporting world, as he's quite a well-known sports commentator. By day a solicitor.
I didn't put two and two together there, but right, I get it now, Mary.
Yes, so there's a connection there. But he's been incredibly supportive. He was instrumental in pulling together the charity and recruiting trustees for our board. So we have I'm very fortunate in that I've got a board with a very diverse range of expertise and qualities that has helped us set up Children's University Scotland. So that includes Ken Cunningham, who again listeners may be familiar with in his role as Secretary of School Leaders Scotland. We had initial funding from Scottish Power Foundation, and we happened to have somebody from Scottish Power on our board representing the corporate sector. We have somebody who's been on the board of University of Strathclyde, and she has a finance and accountancy background, so that's extremely useful. And we've just recently recruited somebody with a PR and marketing skill base. So that's our board. And I suppose what we do, or my remit here in Scotland, is to work with local partners, and that can be a diverse range of organisations, universities, colleges, local authorities, schools, businesses, voluntary sector, and so on. So working with local partners to establish children's university centres. So, for example, the first centre that we set up was in Glasgow, hosted by the University of Strathclyde in partnership with Glasgow City Council. over on this side of the country, in Eastern Midlothian, we're working with Queen Margaret University, and we also have centres in Dundee, which is a very good partnership of the University of Dundee, Abertay University, and Dundee and Angus College, and also as far north as Aberdeen, working with both Aberdeen and Aberdeenshire local authorities and two schools that are taking part in the pilot up there. So that's the sort of the governance and structural arrangements. But I suppose really to explain to listeners what Children's University is, it's a framework for recognising and celebrating things that children do on a voluntary basis out with normal school hours. So you asked what it wasn't about. It's not about testing. It's not about assessment. It's recognising wider achievement. But the school environment is absolutely key in terms of the starting point, because we're very well aware that schools provide a very rich range of extracurricular opportunities and activities, so things that children can take part in at lunchtime, after school, and the menu of opportunities can be very, very diverse and wide-reaching, because there is something out there that will hook in the interest and enthusiasm of a child. And I suppose just to round up, what we're not saying is that every child should or necessarily could go to university. But what we do want to do is make sure that they have the awareness of what is possible. So Children's University is really about celebrating wider achievement, providing inspirational learning opportunities, and raising aspirations and awareness of the possible.
So it's about communities, it's about what's happening on school campuses outside of kind of formal learning day, and it's about clubs, societies, activities, museums, etc.
Exactly. So the school environment is very important as a starting point in all of those kind of extracurricular opportunities that you mentioned. But what we're trying to do is, I suppose, encourage children to try out experiences outside of that comfort zone. So perhaps from the school environment in the wider community. So it might be taking part in a martial arts group or a drama presentation, playing in a sports team, taking part in a community activity, anything like that. And then perhaps going further afield, visiting or taking part in activities in what we call learning destinations. So that might be a museum, an art gallery, a tourist venue, something like the Scottish Seabird Centre, for example, visiting a castle. As I say, there's no limit. What we're saying is that learning has no limits, either geographical or, cultural. It could be anything at all that inspires and motivates the children. And the mechanism that we use to motivate and encourage children to take part in the activities is that when they become a member of Children's University, they're actually issued with a passport, very similar to a grown-up passport, their passport to learning, and that takes them to learning destinations. So every time they take part in a learning activity at a recognised Children's University learning destination, they get a stamp or a sticker in their passport, and that encourages them to try out different activities, to gather their stamps. And the hours of learning, the credits that they accrue through those experiences, build up to awards. And that's where we have the university involvement, because the awards are presented, the certificates are presented at what are very similar to graduation ceremonies that grown-ups would experience. So it's a very formal occasion. The children dress up in caps and gowns. And it's a great way of getting parents and families involved, because they're extremely proud to recognise and celebrate their children's achievements.
And how would young people get involved in? How would they obtain the passport? Is it through the website, or does it have to be through a school signing up and through a head teacher kind of giving a kind of whole school commitment?
Exactly. What we're doing at the moment, and I mean, there may be changes going, in the future, but because we're in fairly early stages in Scotland, we're promoting the opportunity through schools. So obviously it's entirely voluntary from a school perspective, as from the children's perspective, but if it's something that a head teacher or a member of staff or a parent thinks might be appropriate for the school and they'd be interested in becoming involved, we'll have an initial conversation. I'll explain how it works and the logistics. And then the opportunity is offered to the children, so they decide whether or not they want to join and become a member of Children's University.
Okay, and so tell us about the I believe the first graduation was, Strathclyde University would have been last April, I think, and then was the first QMU, was that this January?
That's right, yes, we had the first graduation in Scotland at the University of Strathclyde. It was a wonderful occasion. It was held in the Barony Hall, which I don't know if you've ever been to, but it's a fantastic venue. The children were all dressed up in their caps and gowns. Initially, they were slightly nervous. They didn't quite know what to expect. But it was a very inspirational, moving experience. And I'm not joking when I say there were many adults were reduced to tears because it was quite emotional, and parents were so proud to see their children have the recognition and receive their certificates. So that was the first one in Scotland. We had the second one at Queen Margaret University on the 9th of January. And then they're going to be coming in thick and fast. Dundee's first graduation is scheduled for June, as is Aberdeen. And then I think it looks as if we might be having another one with Queen Margaret to actually deal with the demand, because I suppose the health warning with Children's University is that it has potential to grow exponentially. I mean, at the moment, we have over 60 schools involved, and we've actually issued across the whole of the country getting on for 3,000 passports. So numbers are growing very quickly, I'm pleased to say.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And take us through the actual passport then, and I believe there's a kind of a possible online aspect as well. So to me, you know, just having a look at the literature, there seems to be similarities with the Saltire Award for volunteering, mm-hmm. You know, whereby you can log hours and it's fairly straightforward to do. But there's also other things you can do as well, about maybe skills that you've picked up or reflecting on your learning. So what's actually in the passport, and what kind of online tools are also there as a possible use?
Yes, well, all children, I mean, there is an e-passport, an electronic version of the passport to learning, which doesn't replace the hard copy passport, because that's really the motivational thing. That's the particularly primary school children are very keen to have the hard copy passport to learning that they can take out to the different learning destinations. But the electronic version is quite important, because that can provide a more interactive way of the children reflecting on their learning. So they can upload photographs, they can write comments, they can actually give the activity a score, like TripAdvisor. So if they've taken part in an activity that they found particularly rewarding or exciting or enjoyable, then they could give it 5 stars. And that's very useful in terms of our management information, because then we can get a sense of what the most popular activities are, you know, what spread of activities children are taking part in. So the e-passport is incredibly useful from that point of view. And also children like it, they enjoy it, because it's more interactive, and they can see what the popular activities are in their school or beyond. And they can also search for various learning destinations. And the passport is transferable. So, for example, a child in Edinburgh could take his or her passport to Glasgow and go to Kelvin Grove Art Gallery and Museum, take part in activity there, and get the passport stamped or a little sticker to say that they've taken part in that activity. So I suppose the main thing about the passport, it is a very motivational tool, but it's not formally assessed. We have a quality assurance process, so all our learning destinations go through a fairly light touch quality assurance process. The main criteria is that the learning should be fun and interactive and offer opportunities for progression. But quite importantly, there's no formal testing or assessment, because what we're trying to do is give the children ownership for their learning rather than them being taught. And hopefully that provides an opportunity for them to, as I say, just feel free to graze in the learning environment and acquire those skills and attributes that they may not consciously be aware that they're doing.
And I understand that some evaluation has taken place. I think it was my old tutor, Professor John Macbeth. So, what kind of messages came out of his evaluation?
Well, certainly he's, because I should have mentioned that Children's University has been operating south of the border since about 2007. So Professor John Macbeth has undertaken quite a considerable body of evaluation based on data gathered there. And certainly the outcome is very positive, because the indications are that children who take part in Children's University have better attendance, improved attainment, that they have more positive attitudes towards school and learning. So it's really developing a virtuous cycle in terms of those attitudes and motivations to learning and inspiring children to do more and do different things.
And you, Mary, you've touched on some of the wonderful moments and the kind of short history of Children's University of Scotland. Can you tell us some other kind of success stories that are among your favourites?
Oh, I think one of my favourites is a story that, Jock Brown tells us after the graduation at Strathclyde University, that he went into the Central Station to buy some tickets for a train journey down to London, and he was, going through the transaction at the ticket office, and the gentleman said there, "Can I just stop you, Mr. Brown? I want to say thank you." And Jock had no idea what he was talking about. I mean, he wasn't thinking about Children's University or anything, but just wanting to buy his train ticket. And he said, "What do you mean? What are you talking about?" And he said, "I just want to thank you for my boy. He's been completely transformed by Children's University. He used to be shy. He used to be, not involved in anything. And since becoming a member of Children's University, getting his passport, we can't stop him. He's out there doing all sorts of things. He's encouraging, trying to get us to go out as a family at weekends and during the holidays. And it's absolutely made such a difference in terms of his confidence. And, he's much more outgoing and his self-esteem has improved." So that was just a wonderful story that Jock tells all the time. And children saying that, particularly the graduation ceremonies, that their parents had never set foot inside a university, and how proud they feel to have received their certificates in front of their parents. So I think it is a question that it's, for me, it's about opening their eyes to a whole range of opportunities, giving them confidence, giving them self-esteem. I had a little boy in a school in Midlothian, and he came up to me after I'd spoken at an assembly, and he said, "Are there any exams, miss?" And I said, "No, there aren't any exams at all. Exams are forbidden." And he said, "Good, because I'm rubbish at exams." And I thought that was really sad, because he'd written himself off because he thought he was useless at exams, so therefore he wasn't going to succeed. I said, "Well, what kind of things do you do in your spare time, at holidays and weekends?" And he said, "I play football, and I'm a really good footballer." I said, "Well, that's fantastic. We can record that in your passport." And his little face lit up. So it was those kind of moments that, to me, are very special. And you can hardly capture those. It's obviously, it's anecdotal evidence, it is really important in terms of the impact that hopefully the initiative has on a child's confidence and self-esteem.
And we were just coming into the last 5 minutes or so of tonight's show, and I'll just remind listeners that you're listening to Mary de la Peña of Children's University Scotland. Mary, I'm not an expert in these areas, but it sounds like with the partners that are involved, this is all kind of linked to the whole kind of social mobility and higher education agenda.
Absolutely. And I think that's why the universities are playing such a key role in the development of children's universities across Scotland, because it absolutely aligns with their strategies for reaching out to local communities, for widening access. And I suppose what we would say is that it's fully inclusive, it's open to any child, but we want to try and do more for those that will need it most. For those that perhaps wouldn't have the opportunities to visit some of the learning destinations. And I have to say the support that we've had from the learning destinations and from the schools has been fantastic, because schools, although we're talking about activities outside of normal school hours, schools do not want their children to be disadvantaged because of issues of transport or cost. So we've had examples of schools that have, you know, organised a visit after school using the minibus, taking the child to, I don't know, the Hunterian Museum in Glasgow. I know that a school in Aberdeen is actually planning to bring the children down to the Scottish Parliament or Our Dynamic Earth to give them that experience that they just wouldn't be able to do under their own steam, or, you know, perhaps through the, you know, within their own family environment. So I have to say we've had fantastic support from schools, from the universities and from local authorities. It's very much a collective responsibility and a partnership approach in terms of trying to provide as many opportunities to as many children as possible.
Mm-hmm. In terms of all these so-called learning destinations, then how would an organisation, for example, a charity or a museum or a sports and leisure trust, say, go about becoming a learning destination? And do they get the opportunity to link with others and maybe share practice?
Very much so, yes. We do our best to share practice and sort of network. And I suppose the beauty is that a learning destination could be anything from a small community centre, from a library to a museum, to a large sort of national organisation. I mean, including retail organisations. I mean, for example, B&Q do Saturday morning workshops called B&Q Kids Can Do It, which are completely free of charge. Halfords do bike workshops. So it's not just tourist destinations, it's really anywhere that learning can take place. So if anybody is interested in becoming a validated learning destination, please just contact me via my email or via the website, and I'll follow up and explain how the process works. But it's completely free, and as I said, it's not a complicated or bureaucratic process. It's very light touch. And a lot of these organisations are already doing activities. I mean, again, just to give an example of the National Portrait Gallery in Scotland, they offer weekend workshops, completely free drop-in activities for parents and children. And that's an organisation that I've validated and recognised. So they don't have to do anything new or different or over and above what they're already doing, providing the activity is meets the criteria of Children's University, that can be recognised and validated. It's very straightforward.
And would I be right in saying then that if a child and their family, you know, kind of planning a part of their weekend, are they able to go to the website and actually through there find out which activities are available to them, say, that weekend nearby that would actually count?
Exactly.
Towards,
mm-hmm. Exactly. Yes, they can look both on the national website, but also through the e-passport, because the e-passport captures what is available both in the school environment, in the local community, or, you know, across the whole country. If they wanted to do a visit from from where they were living to another part of the country, or, you know, even south of the border, then that's where they can search for those opportunities.
This kind of, just a couple of final questions, Mary, and this goes back to, I suppose, an earlier question. I'm thinking about my own children, and I know that one or two of them would be, I think, incredibly motivated by this idea. And I think it's age 7, isn't it? On average, it would be kind of 7 years old and upwards, yeah.
Yes, it's 7 to 14 is the core age range. But you did actually mention the Saltire Award, and children who are older, 14 plus, if they're involved in a volunteering activity that's linked to Children's University, they can actually get involved through what we call the Passport to Volunteering. So it can actually span a very wide age group. But the core passport and the core membership is targeted at children aged 7 to 14.
And I have no idea if my children's school is involved in Children's University of Scotland. So I'm sorry to press you on this, but if they were really keen to get involved, and again, it just the head teacher's not leading that particular initiative in the school. I don't know if you alluded to it earlier on. Might there be routes into the passport scheme in the future?
We're absolutely looking to that. It's not available at the moment. So, you know, if there is interest from individual parents and the school is not part of the Children's University network, then at the moment we don't have that facility. But I'm very conscious that there is potentially a demand out there, and that's something that we need to address. So if people could just bear with us, obviously it would be very encouraging if they could have a word with their teacher or the head teacher, and perhaps, you know, then I can always come and do a presentation or have a discussion with the school. But it has to be voluntary. It has to fit in with the school's needs and wants. So it might just be a question of being a bit more patient until we can build more capacity and we have more resource to manage and spread the programme across the whole of Scotland. Mm-hmm. And that is our ambition. I mean, at the moment we have the four centres established, but certainly our ambition and the ambition of my trustees is that we should have a presence across the whole country within the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm. And Mary, just before we finish, and I'll ask you in a moment for maybe a couple of key web links that people can follow up. We've got a question from Angela Gardner of Informed Scotland, and Angela's asking, are there any colleges involved in addition to the universities you've mentioned?
Yes, absolutely. Well, I think I mentioned in Dundee, Dundee and Angus College is one of the partners in Dundee in establishing Children's University up there. I'm actually very keen for more colleges to get involved. I think there's absolutely a place there. I should have mentioned the North East College of Scotland up in Aberdeen, and Aberdeenshire is again an active partner. So, you know, we're very, very keen to talk to colleges, and I think they have a huge amount to offer, both in terms of strategic support, but also an amazing range of learning opportunities and activities that children can access.
Angela's also mentioned on Twitter that the Strathclyde University and Children's University, as well as the one in Dundee, have their own Twitter accounts, so people who are interested in finding out a bit more via Twitter can follow at Glasgow CU and at Dundee CU. Just finally then, Mary, where else on the web should we go to find out more information?
Well, I think if people access the main Children's University website, we have Scotland has a subsection within that. But I'm very happy to take individual queries if anybody wants to contact me via my email address. I don't know if you want me to give it out now or if you've circulated it.
I'll post a link onto the website. Yeah,
yes, I'm very happy to answer individual queries. Otherwise, simply go into the Children's University website, which is www.childrensuniversity.co.uk.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us this evening on Radio EduTalk, Mary, and best wishes to you and your colleagues for the future.
That's lovely. Many thanks, David. Good to talk to you.